I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular. Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, your professional coach, making sure that everything in your life is nothing less than spectacular. I'm here with Angie Leon. Hi, Angie.
Hello.
Great to have you on the show.
Yes, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled. Let me tell you something about Angie, and then we'll start. Angie Leon is co-founder and chief soul officer of Black River Performance Management. As a business owner, speaker, facilitator, and author, her passion is helping people rise into their highest potential, embrace life's transitions, and lead with authenticity and love. With over a decade of experience as a consultant, executive coach, and trainer, she's worked with leaders and organizations across industries to strengthen culture, unlock human potential, and navigate change with clarity and confidence. Angie is the author of Emerge, Rise from the Depths, Realign Your Soul, and Reclaim What Matters. She's especially passionate about mentoring women in business and advocating for undeserved and minority entrepreneurs, using both her platform and experience to empower others to lead with courage and purpose. Wow, Angie. Okay, I want you to help me, all right? That's marvelous. Now, have you always been interested in helping people rise and be elevated?
Absolutely. I think it's the core of who I am. I remember even in grade school being called a natural helper.
Oh.
And I think it's just kind of my purpose in life is just to help. My first job was being a CNA and helping people, elderly people and people in the hospital. I went into healthcare after that. I loved healthcare, so I ended up working eventually in the operating room. And then my years of experience working in the operating room led me to teach in higher ed, teach surgical technology. And so over the years, my career in helping people, also I learned a lot about human behavior and emotions and how those impact us in the workplace. And that's when I became more fascinated with how we behave and how I could help myself. I'm what you would call a wounded healer. I have 8 out of 10 adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs as they're commonly known as. And so oftentimes people will ask me, you know, how did you overcome all the things that you've overcome? Yeah. And that's really the premise of why I wrote the book, is because I realize I've overcome a lot of life quakes and things that have happened to me and things that were also self-imposed. Mm-hmm. And just trying to distill the wisdom from what I've experienced and what I've been studying and learning for the past 10 years and put it into more of a soulful guide for people who are navigating difficult transitions, difficult emotions, and really getting knocked off course in the storms of life.
Wow, that's amazing. And I could imagine that your hospital and nursing experience really did help you learn about people, how to handle them, and really how to quickly help them get at the root of what's going on, whether it's health, mental, etc., to really get them the help they need immediately. Now, you said you had 8 of the 10 wounded healer challenges. What would you say was your most, let's say, difficult issue to get over, and how did you do that?
As a child,
Yeah, or
okay, so the adverse childhood.
probably a child or adult going back and dealing with that, negative experience as a child. Yeah.
So in the adverse childhood experiences, I suffered abuse and, all of those types of things. And parents that weren't married, like a 16-year-old mom. Addiction, mental illness, you name it, right? So
Goodness.
the odds weren't good for me. Statistically, I should be in jail. So what
Yeah.
I know is that I always knew right from wrong. I knew that I wanted a different path for myself. I didn't know how to do it, but I knew that I wanted to create something different. And so I think for me, one of the best things that I ever did was find people that were living the life that I'd want to live, put myself around those types of people.
That's fabulous because, as you said, you could have chosen a different path. You could have rebelled and said, those people are not for me. I'm going to be who I am, which we all need to know, again, the people we want to be, but inhabiting that is difficult.
Yeah,
What
I talk
yeah, go
about
ahead.
rebelling. I will say there were some cringy Angie phases in my life. So there was some, some real poor choices and some poor decisions and whatnot in my younger days, early teen, my teens and probably and through my 20s and even into my early 30s. So, but I really feel like I learned from those experiences instead of use those as ways to beat myself down. I used them as something to learn from. I saw those obstacles as opportunities, and really started to learn from my mistakes and started stopping fearing making mistakes and just knowing that it's part of the process. And so that's, I would say, as a child that overcame those, now the work has become stopping generational cycles. And unfortunately, I mean, I didn't do it perfectly, so there's still work to be done. I am not somebody who's arrived and gets it all perfect, and I don't really think there is anybody who does. So I'm not saying that I've nailed it and I'm 100% got this right, but I do know that my life is a reflection of the work that I've put in.
Great. And you're absolutely right. None of us can get it right. We're all learning. We're all learning how to have relationships with other people, especially our children that we don't want to pass on our negative, I'm going to say, modeling thoughts, etc. And what I'm mostly hearing is strength, because you made a decision early on. And I'm also hearing the vulnerability, which is very strong. So bravo in being that person as well,
No, thank you.
which
It's
is.
not easy. If it was, everybody'd be doing it. And I didn't even know that writing a book would be, I don't know, because I was so naive, because I've never written a book, naive about writing a book. I was thinking, I didn't expect to have so many vulnerable feelings in it coming out and sharing my story and things like that. And even sharing on podcasts, it's actually skill building. The whole process is skill building. If I were to just, it's kind of like being pregnant. You get ready to have the baby. There's a process and there's different stages of it. And so there's going to be a birth of this book, and it is vulnerable and it's scary, and I oscillate between fear and fun and just and thrill. But it's also having the tools that I never used to have and understanding my emotions and understanding the different elements of when you're going through transitions, that they have, there's language to help us to understand it more. And then once we have the language and the tools, then it makes things much more doable. I would say it makes them figure outable, and knowing that there's a process and that every single person goes through these things and not everybody has the skills. I like to say we're all in the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat. Some
Oh,
people are in their
absolutely.
luxury cruise lines, and some
Yeah.
people are hanging on to a branch over here, you know.
Well, we all have different experiences,
Right.
and whether,
Financial
oh,
experience,
differences. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
financial, growing up in a background that we were given a lot, we weren't given a lot, we had to struggle, or we thought not having a lot was normal, or being entitled was normal, going on the other side of the spectrum.
Right.
So, but I totally agree with you. We all have our challenges that we all have to deal with. And I'm gonna say writing this book for you sounds very healing. That, you're writing on one topic, you go deeper. You're writing on that topic, you're always going deeper and understanding what's going on. And things do come up from our subconscious, and we have to deal with them. I'm sure you dealt with them when you sat down and wrote daily, if that was the way you did it.
The
So,
reliving it is was emotional, yeah, very emotional, and remembering things and knowing pain that I've caused other people and being, really compassionate with myself through the process so that I can show compassion to other people, because I really believe if you can't show compassion or forgiveness to yourself, then it really won't flow out to anyone else either. You'll be probably more judgmental and self-righteous towards others if you haven't done the actual work.
Agreed. We need to practice on ourself before, and we need to establish that self-love, that empathy for ourself, and again, that caring before we can know how to do that when somebody else is in pain, and to recognize, my goodness, they're having a tough moment. They just lashed out at me. And for something that maybe I did, maybe I didn't, but didn't do, but I'm going to afford them that compassion because I know what that's like. I've done that in my life, and I'm going to, maybe put my hand on their shoulder and saying, "Are you okay? I'm here in a tough moment, and maybe we can talk about this, but right now I'm here for you." And how much more compassionate can we be than being right there for them? Now, going back to the book, Emerge is going to be released or just has been released. When is the release date? I'm
November
excited.
1st. November 1st.
Woo!
So I just got my unproofed copy back, and so it has one more round of proofing. So I should have the actual real copy here, I would say, within a month. But I'm really excited for the whole process. And it's a new process. It's a new beginning for me. This is part of a transition. There was, well, the whole process of transitional intelligence and TQ is this has been part of it too. And right now I'm in the messy middle. I'm in the messy middle is starting to come to an end. And as the book emerges, I'm going to be going into a new beginning. And then at that point, I'm even starting the process, even being here with you today. I don't know what this is going to bring. I have no idea what is emerging from the book, but it's exciting. It's a blank slate. It's me being vulnerable. I have no control over the outcome. It's all possibility. And so I'm glad I had the skills of transitional intelligence going through the book, because there was a lot of emotions to navigate. And there was also, I was putting having to put into practice what I was learning, not just to help others, but to help myself through this process and to gauge where I am, what my fears are, what has got me and what my thoughts are. And what are the thoughts creating, what thoughts are creating those emotions? And then how am I going to align my behaviors with my values and who I want to show up as versus what my old behaviors would be, natural behaviors would be, right? And so,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's a lot, and what I want to shine a light on is your courage, because you don't know the outcome. I'm assuming there's probably stories about you and others as a way to demonstrate some of the concepts. And boy, getting that out there in the world is very brave. And I'm assuming you get to just kind of say, I'm open to the whole spectrum. And
Yeah,
that's
there's going to
very,
be people who like it either way and people
yeah.
who hate it either way. And it's
Exactly.
part of the journey. And even if I didn't put, this is where I've come to the mindset, even if I didn't put a book out into the world, there would be people who are for me and people who are against me. So it is what it is. And it's part of life. And anytime you're doing something good, there's going to be critics.
Right. And we need that to build that inner strength. It's always great to get outside validation for who we are and what we've done in our lives. But really, we need that internal acceptance a lot more, because that is the way we deal with what's coming at us. You know, life is about good things and bad things, good relationships, poor relationships. And with that internal strength, we can breathe and we can say, you know, I've got it. I have faith in myself to handle these ups and downs, because that's the reality of the situation.
Absolutely. My
Yeah.
first half of life, I talk about this in the book that, you know, I depended on a lot of external validation because I was a chronic people pleaser. You grow up in an abusive home, you start to learn what makes people happy and how to stay out of trouble and whatever. So it became a superpower. Understanding people's emotions and reading the room became my superpower, but also it became my MO of just making sure that I was a chameleon and didn't ruffle feathers, or, you know, made sure that I did things that made people happy, where now that is not where I live my life. And it took a lot of shedding to get rid of those, needing the external validation. While I still want some external validation, even in
Sure.
writing this book, I'd love to have some people that are like, wow, that's a great message. I needed this. I wish, you know, I'm writing it to my younger self. I wish I had this wisdom. I wish I had somebody to share it. And so I feel like now I'm in this place where I want to live by my values instead of the validation of other people. Because if I give people too much credit over, if I give too much weight to validation, then people's criticism also can knock me off course. So good validation or negative validation can, you know, set me off, where if I know what I'm doing because it's what I value, it's aligned, like that I want to share my story, I want to help people overcome their challenges, it's going to require me to be vulnerable. It's going to be require me to be courageous. It's going to require me to share from my heart, not play safe and be armored up.
Yeah, and I'm already hearing some valuable concepts, shedding, you know, understanding the people pleasing, because, you know, when we're young, we all need to survive. We don't want to be abandoned. We want love. So we create these negative behaviors towards people, and to even recognize that we're doing them is incredible, because then you have a choice to continue with it or to not. And I love the fact that you said, you know, what thoughts are creating these emotions? And I want to, you know, tell me a little more about that, unpack that a little bit.
So our thoughts create our emotions, and So if we're feeling overwhelmed, you can track it back to the thoughts that you've been having. Oftentimes we're not conscious of the thoughts that we're having. We just know we don't feel good. But if we really kind of go into our mind's eye and watch ourselves and capture those thoughts and see what you're actually thinking, they're usually based in fear. There's some sort of fear that is behind those, and imagining worst case scenario, or being a psychic, thinking you know what other people are thinking, psychic thoughts. I call them psychic thoughts, where you know what they're thinking and you know what they're going to say, and
Love that.
you're creating stories
Yeah.
about something. And then there's a lot of emotions that come with that. And then you're having conversations in your head that haven't even happened, and you're practicing for something. And now you've had some real, your brain doesn't know the difference between the real experience or your fake one that you're creating in your mind. So then when you do see that person, you're off kilter with them. And so paying attention to your thoughts, and the more we have those types of thoughts, the more neural pathways we create. That's our new way of thinking. So we have to create pathways that or stop those thoughts and capture them, and then decide what else could I do. And there's neuroscience behind it. And I have a chapter on that in my book. That I'm not no neuroscientist, so I use experts in the book to help. How your brain is neuroplastic, so a neuroplasticity, so we can create new neural pathways and change that loop and actually change our thinking, so that we're not continuously in a cycle of despair and rumination and anxiety and depression. All of those things can be traced back to our thoughts and their neural pathways that we've created for ourselves. So I like the term toxic thoughts. And the person that I got this from, and she has a book, it's called Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess by oh, what is her name? I can't think of it right now.
Well, I love the title. When it comes through, let us know. But I love that, and I totally agree with you. We are full of stories and perceptions. So when we see other people and they have maybe they're frowning and we think, oh no, what did I do? That's part of our story that we can have that power over people, and they may have just been having a bad day. But the story is, oh no, again, that people pleasing part comes out. How can I make it better? Why are they mad at me? What did I do? I
They
want
don't
that
like
person to
me.
like me. Yeah. So you spoke about, the tools that you have in the book, and ways again to reset and rebuild the neural pathways in our minds, so we can start reacting, or let's just say in a different manner, or not reacting, just being very neutral and saying, huh, I've got a feeling in my gut that something isn't right. I'm going to listen to that before I say anything. What is a tool that you have found specifically really helpful for yourself?
Yeah, I would have to say there's been so many times in my life that my intuition or my gut told me something and I didn't listen because of my own lack of self-confidence. And I believe that building your competence increases your confidence. And so building confidence or competence in whatever it is. So let's say it's in your work, right? The more you build competence in your role, the more confident you'll become. And it's like podcasting. In the beginning, you're pretty incompetent, right? But the longer
Absolutely.
you continue to do it, because why would you be competent at something you've never done before?
Exactly.
And so you start to build competence and then the confidence. Now you're not freaking out and getting nervous between every podcast because you've done this, 100 times now. So it's not, it's skill building. And so I would say whatever the craft is, like say you're a business, you're starting to want to become oh, start a business or write a book. You're incompetent in the beginning. Nobody likes to say that, but it's the truth. You start a new job, you're pretty incompetent. And
Right.
that's why it's, until, and even if you are a, let's say a CPA and you go from corporate and you go to a nonprofit, you might be competent in the skills of, you are competent in the skills of the job and the of the technical skills, but you're not competent in that organization because they have a different culture. They have a different set of software. They have a different set of laws as it relates to nonprofits than corporate does. And so there's competence that needs to be built. And this is, I think, why oftentimes we face some imposter syndrome. It's not just because we're in, it has to do with confidence, but also sometimes we need to build the competence so, and practice the skills so that we actually start to feel confident and have competence. And it's the same in sports. It's like surfing or pickleball or anything else. You're not going to be good at these things unless you practice them. So,
And the good news about that is, I mean, that again is just a reality. We haven't built up the, skills, the mental capability, the know-how, again, going the culture, the understanding. But the good news is once we have learned the way to do that, we just get better and better. And going back to emotions, the more we recognize the negative thought, which may be driving the negative emotion, we can use that same skill to say, all right, I'm gonna let that go. I'm gonna breathe. I'm gonna replace it with something else. And that's really positive. So, Angie, what would you say to somebody who, like all of us, who is very busy, they're juggling multiple jobs, they're overstressed, they've got a family to take care of, and they just don't have the bandwidth to really sit down and use some of these techniques, even read the book. What would you say to them?
that's a story.
Oh, I
And
like that. Tell me more.
that is a story that you're telling yourself. And as long as you continue with that story, your life will look exactly how it looks right now. And I'm sad to say that. I wish it weren't too true. But the truth is, if you don't have time not to, if you want to change your life. And anyone can take 10 minutes a day. The thing is, you're not prioritizing the right things. So you need to prioritize yourself and your self-care. And self-care isn't just getting your hair done. We need to work on the internal things, not just the external. And our society focuses more on external things. If you look good, get your lashes, get your face, get your hair on, get your clothes, figure out what you look like on the outside. But I can tell you all that stuff fades. And you really need to work on your internal self because that internal self is the only thing you have. And your soul is crying, and you probably feel as overwhelmed and as burnout and as the way you feel because you're not taking the time to do this. So I would say everyone has 10 minutes. Get up 10 minutes earlier. If you have a job, you have a lunch break. Take that time to get away from people. And journal for 10 minutes. Listen to a podcast in your car. Turn your car into your classroom. Do some exercise at home, watching a video. Listen to a book on. There's plenty of free resources too, podcasts and books through your local libraries. So there's a lot of things you might not have thought about. And what I would say is you're turning your obstacles into excuses.
Thank you for being so direct. Right away, you recognize That is a story. And thank you for all the suggestions, because we do all have 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. Again, I like getting up early because we're perhaps more open to hearing things. Our day hasn't begun and we haven't started overthinking and overstressing. So that's great.
One thing that I do, and this might be helpful for your listeners too, is I have it blocked on my calendar, morning routine. And I have to get up. I don't have to. I choose to. I don't have to do anything except probably, die and pay my taxes. I choose to get up at 6 a.m. so that I can have some time to take care of myself, reading, journaling, moving my body. 6:30 to 8 a.m. or 8:30 if I have a really good day where I get a little bit more time. 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. so that I have the time to make sure that I'm going to show up as my best self. And I did that this morning. I even had company. I had my son and my daughter-in-law and my grandbaby. I got up before everybody was up because I knew I had this podcast and I wanted to play with my granddaughter before she left. So I got up, and as I was getting ready, I listened to one of your podcasts just to be
Thank you.
fresh. Like, so you can listen to a podcast. That's one of the things I do is I'll listen to a book or a podcast while I'm getting ready or while I'm working out because this is me time. I get ready or I move my body. And so those are times that I'll oftentimes listen to something because you're right. Time does, I mean, I am busy too. Everybody's busy.
Sure.
There's people way busier than you still doing it, So it's the priority thing. It's not a time management thing, it's a priorities management.
Great. That is true. We all can just get out of the box and think about where can I alter my routine, and I love hearing that you are prioritizing yourself the beginning of the day, so the day won't get away from you, and emergencies won't come up that you need to take care of. You do that first, so you are your best self in going through that whole day. You're centered, you've moved your body, you've gotten oxygen, etc.
Tell you, if I don't, I show up as a whole different person. It's not my best self. My shadow self shows up if I'm tired, haven't moved, eating poorly, not taking care of, got my mind, watching tons of news or social media. Like I can turn into a person that I don't, that doesn't live within my values. If that's the way I'm showing, if I'm doing those things, right?
I hear you, and I totally do the same thing with movement, food, meditation, and journaling even before the day begins, so I can live my value of being present and not letting whatever's going on inside me take over because I ate something and my sugar levels have skyrocketed, or things like that. So you mentioned transitional IQ, and I want you just to let the listeners know what that is.
So it's a term called transitional intelligence or TQ,
Or
just like emotional
TQ.
intelligence, or
Sorry.
you have your IQ, which is your intelligence, you have your EQ, which is your emotional intelligence or emotional quotient, and now there's a term called TQ, which is your transitional intelligence. That coin was termed out of Modern Elder Academy and coaching.com, and I recently took a certification. I was in the first cohort of transitional intelligence. I'm an alumni of MEA, and I didn't have a language to understand the transitions. But once I learned about it really is kind of like EQ's overlooked sibling, because transitions come with a lot of difficult emotions. There's no bad or good emotions. They're just emotions, and we all have them. But there's more difficult ones. There's grief and shame and anger and hurt feel different in our body than joy and pleasure and right. So we all experience them all. But when we learn that all of our transitions come with a lot of different emotions, I was like, this is going to help my clients and my partners and myself be able to navigate these transitions so much better. So what I didn't realize in my earlier life, since I didn't have the language to speak about it, is that I was developing my TQ skills as I was going through life and navigating moves, divorce, death, disease, career changes, all of the things that we go through that one part of our life ends, there's a messy middle, and then there's a new beginning. There is a formula and there's an anatomy of transitions that we need to understand. But TQ helps us understand the anatomy of the change, and transitions are psychological processes. And they may come from external things that happen to us, or they may be something internal, like a purpose transition. I'm finding like I'm really struggling with my purpose, or it's not the same as it used to be. We have our psychological transitions, dealing with maybe some loneliness, or maybe some mental health challenges, or memory. As I'm getting older, like I am not as quick. I don't have that fluid intelligence anymore. I have more of what's crystallized intelligence. So we have our psychological, we have purpose, we have personal. Maybe if you think about your home or moving or relational things, your relationships are transitioning, right? We have physical transitions. Puberty, adolescence, menopause, menopause, like our bodies are going aging. We're going through different transitions as we go through that. We have parting and passing transitions, which are losing someone, being part of you might have somebody sick in your life or somebody that's moving on from this life. And that is a huge transition and with a lot of underlying grief. And then we also have our professional. Wanting to switch careers, wanting to retire or repurpose instead of retiring, maybe do something else because maybe you've been doing something that paid well, but it really didn't fuel your soul. And so those are the six P's of transitions, and helping people understand how many transitions they're actually going through, and then figuring out are they how if you're going through, so many at once, it is going to feel like you're just literally drowning in emotions.
It's important, and I'm grateful that you have called this out, because it's not emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence doesn't have that pressure of transition and that unknowing what's going to happen, that lack of control that can bring up some of these other things from all those life transitions that you've talked about. So I'm excited because I'm assuming that is in the book. Is that right?
Yeah,
Woohoo!
I have a chapter on transitional intelligence and
Great.
some reflection questions and also
Lovely.
answers action step. Each chapter has reflections and action steps to take because
Fabulous.
action kills fear.
All
And
right.
we need to really start to take action
Yeah.
if we want to change our life. And I think what I've learned really is that understanding TQ helps you improve your emotional intelligence. Because you become more self-aware and then you can regulate better.
Yeah,
It's the same
I,
thing with our values.
yeah.
You can't live out the value of being kind or accountability if you don't have the skills. I see this all the time in the workplace.
Yeah.
Well, I value kindness. Well, if you're not able to self-regulate, if you're not aware and you can't self-regulate, which are emotional intelligence skills, then you won't be kind. You will be flipping people off in traffic. You will be rude to the waitress. You
Yeah.
will snap at people if you're not aware and if you're not able to self-regulate. So they mesh so well that it helps me to for myself, because I'm still on the journey too, but it also helps me help other people understand where they are and why they feel the way they do, and no wonder they're going through
Sure.
They feel like they're in, well, the book is water themed, and so no wonder they feel stagnant,
Yeah.
reservoir versus a flowing, healthy river.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to read what your reflections are, what your actions are. Those are things that can cement these concepts that are going on. Angie, how can our listeners get a hold of your book?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So it is angieleone.com. It is not it's not pre-sale yet, but it will be here shortly as soon as we can get that link. It will be on Amazon. You'll be able to buy it from my books from my website and go to Amazon or Aloha Publishing or any of the other places where you like to get your books. And so if you could go to my website, subscribe to the newsletter, can find out more about it. I hope to have a workbook eventually, and I'd like to get it on Audible as or on, being able to
Yeah.
hear it as well.
Yeah.
The author that I was talking about that I do
Oh.
a little bit about at the end of the book was Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's a neuroscientist, and I have a chapter on, a little bit on at the end of my book about cleaning up our toxic thoughts. And
Yeah.
but it's based on her work because that's not my work. I was doing it. I didn't have a language for it, but she has an actual process that I put in the book too. I really
Excellent.
use research from people and use the science so that I share my experience, but I also back it up with the science
Yeah.
so that we're on the right page and it's not just my opinion.
Great. And once again, angieleone.com will be the site to look out for coming out, being released in about a month. So,
Wonderful.
Angie, I want to thank you so very much for taking the time to be on the show today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me and for putting this goodness into the world and helping people. The podcast really is, I really do feel like we live in a time where you can learn anytime you want. It's all at your fingertips. There's a lot of noise out there, but I really do believe that the right time, the person that needs to hear this will hear it. The person that needs to read my book will read it. And that is my request to anybody that listens to this. If you listen to it and you read it and there's something that resonates, I would actually ask for an action step of either sharing that book, giving it to someone, or sharing this podcast with them so that they might find something in it that resonates with them. And be willing, because I have one framework in my book that I talk about, and it's a funny one, and it is there. I learned it in the operating room, and this thing is called the TPL framework. Everything in life revolves around these: timing, positioning, and lubrication.
I love that. Oh, that is so funny. I
So,
will remember that, especially the
yes,
lubrication. We
that's
like
how we
that.
say it, right? Not what we say, but how we say it,
Exactly.
or giving them the podcast with, is the timing right? They
Yeah.
need to hear it. The positioning, how do you stay? I listened to this podcast and I was thinking of you. The lubrication, I too am working on this, so it's not like you need this. It's
Right.
more like I
Right.
was listening, it resonated with me. And here's why I thought you would like it. That can come off so much better. It matters in surgery. TPL matters in surgery. It matters when you're saving lives. It matters in how we're speaking to people. It matters in
Yep.
the
A lot of places it will matter. I love that. And if you want to, review on something, give you a review on an outcome of a part of the book would be very powerful.
Very
Well,
powerful.
Angie, again, it's been delightful having you on. Thank you for all your suggestions and looking forward to the book. You take care, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Bye. I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people. Want more? Visit my website at yourspectacularlife.com.